What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, we're waiting for Chris, but I'm here with Jules and Urbano.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
And we're getting off to, we're at the Berkeley. We got into a little bit of a sidebar conversation that I had to run, hit the record button before we get into the actual thing. Very, very interesting. You know, the topic of boys came up. Urbano and Jules were going back and forth, and I said, "Hey, listen, not in front of me. I don't like hearing anything. You know, I'm very protective over sweet Jules." Okay. Now, that being said, the topic came up. Now, Jules has brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I said, like, you know, because Urbano was like, "Oh, you look at it like an older brother." I said, "No, Jules has brothers, but like at the end of the day, you had a concept that was a little bit of a lightning bolt for me." Okay.
Which was?
We're on an advice show.
Okay.
And I don't think, obviously, like, so Jules has people I'm sure she would go to for advice. Mm-hmm. But weirdly, we get written into all the time. Now, there have been, I think we have talked about personal life things before. Like, I can name one or two things that you've brought up to me. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? But not personal life stuff as much as like your personal life, but not your personal life. Like, oh, right. This is going on with school, or this is going on with like a work thing or something like that.
Like personal yes. life, waist up, above the heart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, your brain, Urbano. It took me a second to understand where you were going. But my point is, you, okay,
mm-hmm.
would you come to me for advice stuff?
What
or is it weird?
Kind of advice stuff?
Any kind of like, advice stuff, like the type of advice stuff that we get ran into for.
Yeah,
like the relationship advice. That is true, actually. We have had conversations, but I feel like it was an outlier. We don't have to get into it.
Okay.
Random things.
Random
things. In the sense of if I don't, something I could never possibly guess was just, hey, this is a random thing going on in my life. I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I would. Definitely.
Wow. I was saying to myself, like it's I don't know that I would advise Jules the same. I feel like I've got a vested interest in a little bit. What's that? That looks nice, Chris.
Are you guys recording something?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a yuzu chicken piccata.
It looks amazing.
It's special tonight, so you can edit it out if you want, but we all got to try it while it's hot.
Okay.
It's a, guys, just for y'all listening, it looks like two very nice pieces of lightly grilled or pan-fried chicken. Is that lightly grilled?
Battered.
Battered, huh?
Fried.
Is that diet friendly?
No, but work comes first.
So I haven't drank anything or eaten a carb this whole week.
Mm-hmm.
I feel just very, you know, you're in that, I'm at that stage of the diet where I'm all bloated. But anyway. So Chris, I just had to ask Jules, hey, would you come to me for advice on things? Because Urbano was like, you know, like Urbano just gets in there, you know? I was like, hey, not here.
Jules,
oh my God.
Does she talk to Al about men's stuff? And Al said, not in front of me. And I said, what better person than you for her to go to? And Al says she has brothers. And I said, Jules, do you go to your brothers for boy/man advice? And Jules said,
no.
Would you go to Urbano?
Thank you, Jules.
I feel like it'd be a very, it'd be a very different like kind of advice.
Yeah,
I feel like
it would be.
Do you have an issue going to a guy with things? Is there any guy in your life that you go to with these questions?
I'd ask my guy friends. Like I have a group of friends from high school. We all still hang out.
Yeah, but you're all the same age. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So it's hard to go to someone with the same reference points for a different perspective.
Yeah. Very
you know?
True. I would go to Al. I wouldn't go to, like, personal questions, which that's what Urbano was trying to
That's what I'm saying. I feel like you'd be more comfortable going, like hyper-personal. I think
yes.
going to Urbano is probably a better call.
Yeah. How did we get on this topic?
But I think you give good advice, Al.
Yeah, no. I think it was just about No, we got on this topic because Urbano was trying to just jump into the advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which, you know, hey, we love him. He has the tendency to do. But I was just like, not here. Now's not the forum. Which is weird because it is the forum. For anybody else.
Fuck, marry, kill, advice edition. So they're not actually marrying or sleeping with anyone, but whose advice do you not accept?
Yes.
Whose advice would you always accept? Whose advice would you accept on one particular topic in this room?
Well.
Oh, that's hard. That's really hard.
Well, the question's before you.
That's a good chicken piccata.
So who would I pick to go to advice all the time?
In this room, who would you never go to for advice? You, one of us you can never go to for advice. One of us you can one time on one topic go to for advice. And one you can only go to advice for advice ever.
Well, how about this? How about this? One you have access to always for advice. Mm-hmm. One you have a major crisis. The
Lifeline.
Biggest, the biggest piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
One time. Mm-hmm. Okay? The other one, you're like, peace off. You don't need your advice.
I'd rather talk to a wall.
I think I would go to Urbano for advice all the time in a way because...
I'm dead.
There's, wow.
I don't know. It's between Urbano and Al.
Oh, thank you, Jules.
Because Urbano, you do see things in a different perspective.
Thank you.
But like Al is kind of like, you're more like a business mind, so you give it to me straight, like yes or no. When Urbano has more of like, well, it could go this or that, so... I enjoy both of your advice. Sorry, Chris.
Fine.
Chris is dead. Anyway, can I tell you what? Tell you who you're not dead
to.
Tell you who you're not dead to, Chris. The first mailbag question.
Let's go.
Is an update, and they reference you, Christopher.
I think it's the first time.
I don't think it is.
No.
It's always Candace.
We'll get into it. Dear Albie. Hey, Albie, Jules, and anyone else who's there today. I want to update you guys. No, you'll see. I wanted to update you guys on my last email. To recap, I was interested in someone and thought he felt the same, so I asked him out. His response was, yeah, okay, and there was no follow-up. I wasn't sure what to do from there. Ask him again, forget it, etc. I really appreciated Albie, Jules, and Chris's advice. Although, what Chris said could be considered harsh, he was so accurate it was almost scary. Maybe I just needed a male perspective on the situation or a straightforward, unbiased opinion. So the update. I saw the guy again today, and although he was super flirty like all the times we've talked before, he dropped the detail that he had a girlfriend. Although it caught me by surprise, I'm glad I listened to your advice beforehand. Because I listened to your perspective on it, it was almost like I was prepared for that answer. Even though it's not what I wanted to hear, I'm glad I could move on from the situation and hopefully find someone even better. Thanks again for your advice. I appreciate all of your help. Best, Ang.
When was this?
It's Ange.
What was the question?
Remember that girl last episode? It was me and you, and she kept flirting with that guy.
Like we didn't know if he worked at a coffee shop or something.
Yes.
This isn't the horny girl, but like, wait, she was like super horny because like the cop showed up. She's like, I'm off a date now. The cop showed up. She's like, no, I want you. No, it's not her.
Yeah, no, this was the girl, and she couldn't tell if he liked her or not. And Chris, you were like, he's just not that into you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want anyone to think I'm ever being mean for the sake of being mean, but I have an advantage here on this podcast where I don't have to look you in the face when I give you real, true, harsh advice. So I get to be as honest as I can possibly be. Hmm. It's never for entertainment value. It's truly what I believe. Hmm. And if I rarely get to be as direct as I'd like to be in person, I don't think anyone really gets to. So I get the ability to tell really raw, unfiltered advice without seeing that I'm hurting someone's feelings, which is nice. Mm-hmm. Because in this case, the proof is in the pudding that I meant it, you know, and it worked. And it's a shame that Jules will never get that level of advice from me.
this is funny because, Chris, do you remember the advice that you gave?
No.
Not Chris doesn't even remember the advice he gave. No. He has no idea.
Nope.
But it's a funny one because, like, you know, I think that Chris does tend to give, I think, harsh advice. But when advice is harsh, you, especially if it's someone that doesn't know you,
mm-hmm.
I think you got to listen to it the most.
Yeah, I can see that. Chris, you do give good advice, but I don't know if I can.
How would you know?
You'll never get it. So the truth is, it's real, like I said, it's not for fun. I don't remember that question because honestly, a lot of them sound like that. But every situation is a little different. But that was kind of like a generic rundown. But the truth is, I don't like last week. I wanted to. Have fun with the cop question. But I was like, no, I feel like she's doing everything right. So I'll be honest with people when they're honest. But I do think some people make up what they, you know, what they want to be the truth, they start to transition it into the truth. And that's not always the case. You're blinded by certain things, you know? That's all.
So I think there's a number of things to take away. First of all, it's nice that we help someone. Very, very good. Going into this, though, do we have a problem with this guy? I don't think so. Because, like, you're looking at this and she's like, all right, I saw the guy again today and he was super, okay, he was super flirty and then he dropped the ball. Caught her by surprise, glad he listened, and then she can move on. Now, moving on mentally is fine, but him telling her, I think, is what he should do. It's fine. Like, and you could be, like, is there a blurred line between being friendly and being flirty?
No, it's a flirtation ship.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Do you think there's a confirmation bias to flirting? Like, if you're into somebody, okay, and they're just an outgoing, charming personality that's super, like, I want to talk all the time to everybody that's in a room. Do you think there's a confirmation bias in somebody's head that says they're hitting on me, trying to pick me up, flirting with me, whatever?
I get that all the time.
I was going to say, because you're very...
I flirt with everyone. And it's not a flirting for sex. It's just a my way of being welcoming, or just how I kind of communicate. I try to give eye contact. I try to remember people's names. I try to be invested in whatever conversation it is. So I flirt with everyone.
I feel so wanted when we speak.
Al, who truthfully, rack your brain for a second. Who's one of the biggest flirts that you know?
Urbano.
No.
Flirts?
One of the biggest flirts that you know. Like, Urbano just admitted that himself, so not
No, no, very, very outgoing personality that's not flirty, but he will be very direct saying, oh, but you look, like Corey just walks in and you go, your hair looks great today. Now, you mean that. Yeah. You're just saying your hair looks great today. And you're also the type of person I feel like has a log in his head. I'm going to compliment five people today. When you wake up, like one of those, and you're like checking the boxes.
No, but I do try to be as nice as possible. And remind myself to be grateful, to be nice, to try to... You never know. Someone could be going through some shit.
Yeah.
And
me telling me his hair looks nice could have just made his day, because he rarely has a good hair day.
Will you size up somebody and say, I think he's got great hair. We go to the same barber now. But I will say this, though. To that end, do you then look at someone and say, wow, they look like they're having a rough go of it. Let me compliment them.
No, because then that's disingenuous.
Okay.
Our mother is the answer to that question. Mom is one of the biggest flirts on the planet. Every time a waiter walks over, look how cute you are. You're adorable. Wow. Look, wow. You must work out. She says that shit all the time, and she will say, yeah, I always flirt. It is something that I don't think is directly related to
the intention.
Yeah. That being said, I try to not come off like I'm flirting ever, because I do think I do think it gives off a bad impression, like when, like even just from growing up in my early 20s or whatever, they'd be like, oh yeah, like that guy always flirts with me. Like, I'm just nice to you. What are you talking about? So now, and I think I've talked about this on here before.
You have.
Where I've just said, like, I just try to be nice and always courteous. I think I'm friendly. But I try not to ever compliment anyone on anything outside of, like, something that they said or thought. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a smart thing to say. Not like, you look great today, because I just don't want to get involved with any cross lines.
Fair enough.
Got it. Okay. We're going to move on. We got a new one. Okay. Are we ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's from the mailbag. DearAlbumMailbag@gmail.com. Hello, my name is Alex, and I'm from Canada. It says in parentheses, what? Did you do the what?
No, or
they,
she did.
They did Canada, what? Calgary, to be exact. They're really pumped to be from Canada.
I think they're confusing Canada with Puerto Rico. You know, like Puerto Rico, woo-woo. It's Canada. Or I guess the woot woot of Puerto Rico, and if what is Canada, it makes a little bit of sense,
well,
too.
Canada should be A.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, right? Like, well, look, if I'm from Canada and I'm watching, like, any news about the U.S., I'm pretty pumped up, too.
Facts.
Like, now's a good time to be from Canada. Anyway, I'm sure everyone reading this can relate. When I say, what WTF 2020? I'll try to read exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. I started 2020 off with the worst breakup I've ever been through in my entire life. Shortly after that, and after I turned 32, my father passed away. He was sick for a long time, but still, my life hasn't been the same since. Since he took his last breath. I have a large, very close family, so to have all of them around and to be surrounded by that love was amazing during that time. About a week after we laid my father to rest, COVID hit, and everything changed. I was isolated, alone, as I live on my own. My mother, a new widow, also alone. So it's been a hard year for sure. I took a lot of time for myself and got to the point where I tried to start dating again. I repaired other relationships also during this time, friendships that I had maybe neglected. I became friends with an ex again, not the one that ended at the start of 2020. This is a different long story, LOL. And I got a dog. So things were looking up. The dating, however, not good. Haha, because of COVID, I am forced to use the apps, and I hate it. I try not to be so negative about it and have met some nice guys, but no one is making the effort. And it's very disheartening. My question, are there decent men left out there? Have you guys heard any COVID love stories that would make me want to feel better about humanity? Do you have any advice for me? I swear I am a normal human. I work a full-time job. I live alone. I have a dog. I take pretty good care of myself. Too much snacking during COVID, but I'm fixing it. I am kind, loyal, honest. Help me. Bunch of E's. Love you all. Love all of you. I hope someone reads this, and I don't mean out loud. I mean in general sense, because that would be an honor. No name. Make one up, Chris.
I didn't expect that, but canned. Candida.
So, oh,
May.
Look.
Maple leaf.
We're going to go.
Vancouver.
She's from Calgary.
Calgary.
Yeah.
Wow, Canada is perfect for this game.
I love it.
Mm. All right, so, no, somebody else.
You have several questions. First one, Are there decent men left out there? I don't know that they're on the apps.
There never was.
I don't know that they're on the apps anyway.
But there's nothing decent about us.
Well, look, I think that it's funny because here's the thing, okay? In that context that you're describing right now, the men are pigs type of context.
No, I didn't say men are pigs.
No, or the men are not. You said, you know.
Well, decent is a very kind of, it's very loaded. It means like, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be decent. Are there honest men? Sure. Are there loyal men? Sure. Are there sexy men? Sure. Will you get them all in one? Who knows? Yeah, depends on what you're looking for.
Do you think it's harder to find one as a straight girl or a straight guy in a gay situation?
I think it's hard to find anyone when you're looking outside of yourself. I think, you know, I was listening to something earlier today and it said you have to kind of write down all the qualities you want to find in someone and then force yourself to be that. Because if not, then you wouldn't even date you.
No, you're going to get what you put out kind of a thing.
There you go.
There was only one thing that bothered me about Can's line of questioning. Should I'm forced to use the apps? No, you're not. You're not. You're not forced to use the apps. You can meet people in the strangest of circumstances. You're trying to force the issue. Yeah. So the only thing you're really forcing, you're not forced to use the apps. You're forcing yourself to meet people on something that you don't want to meet them in. If there was a bar that you hated going to, you wouldn't say, I'm forced to go to this bar to meet people because there's people in there. You would say, I don't want to meet the kind of people that go to that bar. Therefore, if you don't like the people you're meeting on the apps, it's because you're using the apps. I don't know why you think someone is just going to emerge through that. So you're not forced to do that. Just keep your eyes open anywhere you go. Don't make things happen. Also, you got a shit 2020. So don't keep putting stuff on your plate. Like, why don't you play with your dog and, like, be there for your mom and, like, do all the things that that you are kind of drawn to do. And you can't expect everything to the ship to right itself in the 12 months that is 2020. Like, you started with a shitty year. Just try to get everything figured out. Someone will fall right into your lap. Or they won't. But either way, it's probably not going to happen on the app if you're not into it.
The thing about the apps, and we have a ton of people that have written in that say, I use the apps because of COVID.
Yeah.
Now, they're using it as a substitute for meeting people randomly, which is funny because I feel like there's not a lot of stories that I hear lately about meeting people randomly. But you've got everybody now just throwing themselves on these apps. Yeah. Everybody's getting in there. And they're all doing it for the same reason. Like, you're not really going to be in an environment also where you're going to learn a ton about these people. Like, it's just a weird thing. It's very ripe for hookup culture, you know? So your chances of finding somebody quality on that type of stuff, I thought they were really never good. I mean, certain apps are probably better than others. I don't know. But
I wouldn't know.
From personal experience, there's never been something good that I've run into when I was like, I'm trying to use a time in my life as a distraction for something, or I'm unhappy about something, so I'm going to try and find that in someone else kind of thing, or I want to find somebody so bad. You just let that shit go. If there are moments where you just got to look at it and say, I want to be so happy with myself and my situation that whatever happens, happens, and I don't really care. And that doesn't mean you literally, in the literal sense, don't care. You're just not invested in the outcome of finding somebody. Because if you didn't find somebody, it's equally as good to not be with, like, someone that sucks.
Yeah.
So definitely. When you go home and you meet anybody, that's a win. You know, if you're out and you meet somebody and you get invested in them for whatever reason and all of a sudden doesn't work out, that's a win because you're just crossing stuff off. There's everybody that like gets into these square peg round hole situations like, no, I'm going to make this work because this person's in front of me and am I going to find somebody again? That never works.
Plus, you just got out of a relationship, Ken. Like, give yourself a minute. You know, you got a lot going on. And because you started the email with so much going on, imagine if you did meet somebody and that's how you started the date. They're running. I gotta go. I don't know what's going on with this person, but she has a lot on her plate.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the wrong time for both of us. So if you invest in yourself, get yourself together, go to the gym, join a class, join a dog walkers group, something.
Well, look, you know what makes me like sad about this email? I'll tell you what. She closes it with this like big, long thing where it says, I swear I'm a normal human. I work a full-time job. I live alone. I have a dog. I take pretty good care of myself. But like you're listing this resume of superficial mm-hmm. things, and sometimes that's superficial. I'm kind, loyal, honest. All these things. Number one,
she never mentions teeth, great, though. Does she
are great.
Have teeth?
I'm sure she has teeth.
It is
she
Canada.
Takes pretty no. good care of myself. You know, so you're doing that. It's like, look, someone, please, please, somebody love me. Somebody love me. No. You gotta take the things that you just said and direct them entirely to yourself, and then say, look, I've got all this stuff going on. This is a great situation. That I have, whoever's going to get me is going to be lucky as shit. So, yeah, you're going to be picky with whoever's going to be in there. Because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of, like, there are a lot, there's not good people or bad people. There are just people. And context and I think circumstances make people fluctuate one way or the other. You don't know what people are going through and stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. You're probably in a different mindset now than you were a year ago or 2 years before that. You don't know what's going to happen. So they just don't get, you know.
Don't worry about us believing that you're normal and kind or whatever else you've promised that you are. You believe that, canned. Start with yourself believing that.
It's very true.
She asked, "If have we heard any COVID love stories that would make her feel better about humanity?
Do you love your dog? If you fell in love with your dog, isn't that a love story?
I think the quick answer is no.
No.
I
do think that I've heard some stuff, but nothing that I remember. But I feel like I've heard a couple things. I think I know people that have met people in COVID-like conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of people.
Jill jumped in really quick.
I've heard of people on the apps that have had success, but I've never been on any of the dating apps, so I wouldn't know what, like, yeah, she's going through. I've always met people in person.
I met one of my best friends at a dirty bookstore in Manhattan.
Like,
really?
Like, facts.
During COVID?
No, just.
Oh, it's like, it's just.
A random.
It's a dirty bookstore or they had like, a section for
40,
dirty books?
No, like, you know those 42nd Street bookstores?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's a porn shop.
There you go.
Yeah.
I call them dirty. We say we met at the library, but.
That's
how you met. Oh, we met at the library, but it was really like a porn shop.
So like,
really? Oh, I thought you meant like just a filthy bookstore.
Well, it is.
Yeah, but I thought you meant just like a grimy Barnes and Noble.
Did they have one of those things you only really see now on TV, but that the rumors that they still exist, where you go in the back and there's like a booth and you put a quarter in and the wall moves up?
Yeah.
That's pretty fun. What's that like? Did you go in there? You went in there?
A long time ago.
Were you dancing in the thing?
I did not dance. I was offered money though.
Urbano, you keep looking at me like I'm the person that you met.
So wait, did you really go in there?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember a friend told me about it. He was like, oh, did you ever go into those dirty bookstores on 42nd Street? And I was like, no, and I remember I went. It was a little creepy, but at the same time, it was all new. So
no, I'm saying like, did you go into like that phone booth looking thing? You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right? Where there's glass.
Yeah,
it's like a window. It's like a drive-through strip club.
No, I didn't
glass.
See a person.
It's like the most COVID-compliant strip club.
No,
it was way ahead of its time.
That I didn't. I saw those, and they had like, I walked through, and I saw what like the walk through the hallway, and I saw these curtained-off areas, but I was
a peep show.
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
Yeah, I did do that, but I didn't like participate.
We should do a funny version of a peep show.
Easter, we should use peeps.
Yeah.
But back to Can she? Maybe when things start to calm down, take a break from the apps and have like your friends maybe think of someone that could work, you know, like just get out there and meet other people through other friends' recommendations. I don't know. I think that's a chance to take a break from the apps.
In groups smaller than 10.
Has anyone out there, this is a question for the whole community, does anyone know a story of people who have met at a protest?
Interesting.
Oh, I bet.
I feel like they're busy.
It's the only thing. First of all, there's clearly common interest of everyone that's there.
Well, right?
On the thing that most people would fight about, like four dates in, you'd learn, oh my God, they're this or they're that. This is a situation where you know, like the thing you're not supposed to talk about, which, one of which is politics. Mm-hmm. You are on the same side there. Concerts, music festivals, games, they're all gone. The only place where there's more than 1,000 people in one place is a protest. If you know anyone who's made a love connection in a protest, I want to hear about
it. Yeah, I mean, that's the type of thing where, let's put it this way, depending on what it is, I hope not. you know what I mean? But it's that would be an interesting one. A protest love story.
Huh. I'll put it out on the Instagram.
Yeah. You know,
let's see if we get anything.
We got another one in the mailbag. Hi to everyone in NB or at the Belmont. You missed. That's not where we are.
Did you see I bolded it?
You did. You bolded it and put it in red. Yeah. The Belmont. It's the Berkeley, but that's fine.
Keep reading the question, bro.
All right, man.
Unless you want me to say what I texted the Urbana, but you don't. I promise you don't.
So I have a horrible, I have had a horrible relationship with my brother for our entire lives.
Hey, Lore.
When you guys were talking, I swear to God, I thought you were showing him saying, I wrote this. When we were kids, he would tease me relentlessly. As teens, I was far from popular, and I think he resented me for it, as he went from teasing to talking down to me and making fun of me. I never retaliated in the moment, because I would just let things pile up and blow up at the smallest thing. And then he would act like I was being ridiculous. As adults, we live in different states, but when he visits, we always get into an argument. This last time, the day after Christmas, it happened again. He asked me a question about paying him for him getting charged for my Amazon account, an issue I partly resolved since he told me 11 months after it started I couldn't get all his money back. I told him no, and that's when it got scary. He was in my face screaming and swearing at me. He wouldn't stop, and I was afraid he was going to hit me. As bad as our relationship is, I've never been scared of him like that. When he finally stopped, I walked away and sent him his money via Venmo because I was afraid of him. My mom, who was sitting in the chair next to me the entire time, said she thought he was going to hit me. For the next day or so, I got several texts from him saying how I owe him that money and how wrong I was and how right he was and how maybe he shouldn't have done that. This was after I paid him, and it got to the point where I had to block him. When I did unblock him, he apologized for what he had done, but then went on to justify it. My family thinks I should forgive him and move on, but I don't know if I can. Please help. I really hope that Don is there today. Cassandra. Well, strike one.
Is that Cassandra with a K?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Here's what I think. I think whatever the show is on the ledger here, like pay the balance, get the money out of the way, forgive him, and then just talk to him only on Christmas. Like you guys aren't made to be like tight and friends. It sounds like he's got to mature a little bit. I kind of want a more explanation as to why you share an Amazon account.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. How much the money part is what I'm trying to figure out. Like he asked me a question. He asked me a question about paying him for him getting charged for my Amazon account, an issue I partly resolved, but since he told me 11 months after it started, I couldn't get all his money back. So I guess, what's that, like 15 bucks?
You know how your credit card, sometimes maybe she was charging the wrong credit card.
I'm going to assume this isn't just a Prime membership, because that's like $90 a year or something like that. But if that's what it is, listen, here's how I would really look at it. If there's money owed, doesn't sound like there is, but I couldn't really tell. If there's money owed, I would pay it as a way of saying, this stress costs me $90. For $90, this stress goes away. And now I'm not going to talk to you about anything because you've lost that right until you've proven that you can be cool, because right now you're not. I'm done.
A, we may be related. B, I think that when you forgive someone, it's not about absolving them of what they've done or the hurt or forcing them to kind of take accountability. It's more about releasing your own kind of feelings towards that. Because it can't feel good. It doesn't feel good.
No.
That hurt, that pain, someone screaming in your face about money. Again, we may be related. So what I suggest is kind of try to create a new type of relationship. It seems as if a lot of this is kind of bubbling up from childhood, mm-hmm. since it's so unresolved. So maybe it's about finding new ways to connect or not. And it's okay either way. You don't have to share everything because you share common DNA.
Yeah. I mean, look, what I'd look at it like this, right? If that's me and I'm freaking out to the point where someone's scared, like a female, okay, especially, forget about my sister, is scared that I'm going to actually get physical with them over money, I'm paying you because here's your piece of shit tax. Like, here's your money. Get out of here. Like, that. At that point, it's like, yo, you're bringing this to a place where you're making this about whatever kind of transaction. It's not about a personal relationship anymore. It's about the money. So here's the money because you clearly care about that more than our relationship, and I'm taking the relationship. Goodbye.
But the fact that she was unwilling to pay prior to that also seems like it's part of the problem.
Well, you got to look at it and say this. She's saying, look, to an extent, I agree that there's more context to it, maybe.
Yeah.
But not over an Amazon account. I've got relatives I do not talk to, okay? Because you're talking about years and years and years and years and years worth of money that have major, major, major implications, okay, to life in general.
Facts.
That after the fact gloated about it to an extent, okay? And went on as far as to say, hey, listen, like there's a form of like the mental game that was played was just not okay.
Yeah.
I am more than cool to take a life-changing amount of money and chalk that up to saying, I would pay triple this to keep you out of my life.
Yeah.
All day. That's not $150.
Yeah.
That, now, look, regardless of your situation, what if you've got somebody freaking out that bad, I don't know what other things are behind you, but there's not – if you're saying, like it's more of a disrespect thing.
Well, mom was sitting on the chair the whole time.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, it's a little confusing that mom was like, yeah, he did seem like he was going to belch it. It's like, well, thanks, lady.
Yeah, like, I don't think if stuff got to that level in our spot, and also, too, like, number one, I don't think the I think that's the type of – that's when the parents got to get involved, right?
Right.
But beyond that, like, for him to be texting several days after – I think that's a representation of him feeling bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I have a thing.
Still explaining it though. Not if he's still saying that he's right.
Did it say if he's older or younger?
I bet money he's probably older.
He's older.
Yeah.
And yeah, in the text, he's explaining why he was right. So he's not over it.
Like, I'm sorry, but you deserved it.
Yeah.
Right.
That type of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think, and you know, I don't know, this is me. I do think there's an obligation of the older person to always be like, listen, chill out. Like, I'll have this weird just thing where, I don't know, I don't tend to keep score on these things unless it's very, if it's a, like, almost like a sign of some amount of disregard for a person's situation or taking advantage of something, that would be one thing. But that's like, you're telling her 11 months after something started.
Yeah, but you're also super protective and generous by nature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's who
this
you
isn't,
are.
This isn't about being. This isn't about being generous. This
it
is about being.
Is. It's no, emotional. He's not emotionally generous. Like the fact that he was still harping on this kind of assault that he felt she inflicted upon him, like, who knows how deep it goes.
I'll tell you, this is a period of my life where I was, I think, dumber, but there was a time, and I don't know why my brain goes to this, I had broken up with an ex. She would use my Uber account, okay, and then I would wake up like a week and like I'd be getting hit with Uber, right? I'm like, oh, you know, I feel kind of bad, like, you know, maybe having a little bit of an issue at the time, like, doesn't know it's my card, you know? And then I'm checking, and I'm like, wait a second. I'm getting these emails at like 3 in the morning. Like, I'm legit paying for your rides home with wherever the hell you just were. And I was like, at that point, I made the call. I was like, yo, listen, I don't mind if you need it, but, like, use it to get to work. Don't use it to get back from wherever. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. But, like, in this moment, I just kind of feel like, and this is a thing in general, I do think people make, when you're leading with money, this amount of money, I don't know. I just think, like, if he was hitting her up saying, hey, listen, I need this, and I'm in a spot, and you're like, yeah, whatever, get out of here, that's not the read I'm getting on this.
No. But it's also, they could be fighting over something that happened when they were in the sixth grade. I mean, her email isn't just about this one incident. She goes back as to, I wasn't pretty, I wasn't popular. I mean, I'm adding that, but I wasn't pretty, I wasn't popular, and he never really liked me. So this is kind of... It's like when you have a fight with someone and all of a sudden they're like, do you remember 14 years ago when you closed the door on my face? It's like, no. So
it seems to be deeper.
A lot of my vibe here is that she was popular and pretty, and that's why he didn't like her. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if he was like getting like his lunch thrown on the ground when he walked by the popular kid, and the popular kid was like, tell your sister what's up. You know what I mean? And now he doesn't like you because of that. So
I think,
stay pretty, girl.
I think as far as the forgiveness and stuff goes, I think you really try and always forgive your siblings. That's what it should be. But you have to have some kind of mutual respect. If he's just going to continue to try and justify whatever, number one, if you truly believe these justifications aren't necessarily warranted and this is an honest mistake kind of thing, you voice that back and say, look, like, the same way your family wants you to forgive him, he's got it in his mind, okay, which he rationally believes he's on the right track, forgive you for just, you know, a misunderstanding and whatever.
Or forgive himself. Like, maybe he can't even forgive himself for how angry he was, and that's why he keeps trying to justify
it. For him
it.
To keep bringing it up, especially if he's older,
it's guilt.
There's something there that he feels guilty about and whatever. And honestly, he should. Like, if no matter what happens, you know, if you're going to, you know, DEFCON 5 over some stuff, you know, like, have it be a big deal. I don't think it's the Amazon account. It's probably some stuff that's underneath all that shit. You know what I mean? So.
So do you think they should have, though, an honest conversation, like sit down and hash it out?
It depends entirely how much the relationship means to her, in the sense that the everyday relationship. Huh. Being cool with your siblings is always a good thing, right? If this is the type of thing where she's obviously got a lot of hurt with this dude, and it stems from a bunch of things. I've had really weird situations. Look, me and Lauren had a rough relationship forever. Well documented on things that honestly to me didn't make a ton of sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would always try and lead with, okay, I tried to have the conversations. Marky changed my relationship with Lauren. And sometimes that is the new thing, is a catalyst to something brand new. Me and Lauren now, cool as hell.
You have to start a new conversation. You can't keep going back to that old habit, because it becomes the only way you really know how to talk to one another.
Mm. It becomes sometimes even hard to completely understand. There might be some moments, but it becomes even hard to understand, you know, disagreeing with her on things. Nah, it's not that hard to understand disagreeing with her. But like, it's like picturing not getting along constantly is a weird thing for me because of how cool things are now. So. Right. In a very strange way, things might change. So now all of a sudden, let's say you guys are still in your young 20s and you have some blowout over an Amazon thing. They end up having kids, or God forbid something happens to your parents and you guys got to rely on each other.
Right.
You want that to be as clean of a slate as humanly possible. And if it's not, from personal experience, again, okay, when you say you're done or you're not forgiving somebody, you got to mean it. The people I am done with in my life, I don't have a single regret about that. I don't care what happens. When I say that, I mean it. But the reason is because I probably went 5 times more to try and fix the situation from a genuine place, at least in my definition, than I should have. Mm-hmm. And then those people still, because I think maybe to an extent, sometimes people just thrive on conflict or whatever, still try to say, well, this is your fault. They don't take personal responsibility for stuff. At that point, okay, cool, I'm good bailing. And then fresh start and you're fine. Yeah. but you have that, you don't want to experience what he's going through right now, which is the guilt of I have to explain this to you, because he's going to have to live with that. That's going to be a $150 thing. That's a very, like, you know, almost like dirty feeling of it, you know, because is that worth making your sister feel like that? You know? Jules hates Chris.
Not what I heard.
Oh, wow. Okay. We got to go. We have to go, everybody. DarylBmailbag@gmail.com.
Never coming back.
Catch you later.
I just did a split.